Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 89 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Setting Spiritual Markers of Time, Part 3. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
This is lesson number 89 of Unlocking the Prophetic and is changing the spiritual atmosphere. And this is part 3 as we are moving of this part 3 of understanding time, and for us to understand of what I'm calling markers of time. There's things in our lives that has markers of time. And what happens is if you are in a situation in life, it could be emotionally, it can be physically, we have these different events that we find ourselves in. And when healing occurs in any area of our life, or physically or emotionally or in our mind, anytime healing takes place, I want us as a prophetic people to realize what's happening is the fourth dimension has been captured. So with any type healing, emotional or whatever, I want us to understand that what we're capturing is the time element. Have you ever, if you're healed of some physical illness, what you're wanting to do is to rewind the time back before you had it, right? So a healing dimensionally is a rewinding of time before the sickness. There's time involved there. Now, you must understand this. Why is that necessary? Because that is what your mind is comparing your illness to. The way the human spirit works is through comparisons. What's bad to some people is not bad to another person. It's according to what you're comparing it to. I mean, most people that come out of a third world country that has been starving for most of their life, when they go to New York City, if they get a bad hot dog, they don't complain. Why? It's what you're comparing it to. So the human spirit, basically we come up with our decision-making process in comparisons of two extremes. And so why is time the time element, why do we see it as a dimension, is because things happen in time. If you have a physical illness, or if you have a relational breakdown, or if you have this or whatever, it's compared to something. It's compared to the worst of time and the best of time. Then there's another time called God's time. Our realities are bound to the worst of times and the best of time in any given situation. Our reality, the way we come to conclusions is because we're always looking at something through the lens of two comparisons, extreme right and extreme left. Now, when we're doing that, the time element comes into play. Now, that's all I'm going to say in the introduction to lead us up into this continuation. Recapture just a little. In this recapturing, I'll also be adding something to take us a little further. God is recovering man's reason. Remember, we've done the whole teaching on reason, the reason we're here, the whole reason, and therefore the ability to set spiritual markers of time, and I've added spiritual markers of specific time. So this week we're going to expand the time, the markers of time, into markers of specific time. I gave you the broad idea of time. This week we're going into specific time. To follow Christ is to follow the reason in the time that God created you. Went over that last week. We have been created for this time. Your children have been created for the time they're in. That's one reason you feel like you're a little out of touch. You're not out of touch with your children. You're out of touch with the times. You must own where you are in life to have the authority of all time in your time. To have authority is what changes things. Authority changes things. Now, it just so happens we all have a level of authority, but through the power of the evil one and our own selfishness, we will tend to use our authority at the wrong time. We want to learn to use our authority in the right time. One way you can know, usually we all speak out of the wrong time. Very seldom is it too late. It's usually too early. We all tend just to respond. Fourth dimension, I've done this with you now. It's a movable measurement as a specific spiritual marker. And we'll get into that. Time is what moves something. I've taught you three. In three dimensions, without time, it's still. But when you put a fourth dimension of time, then the three dimension can move. But it takes time for it to move. Right? So since a three-dimensional figure can move, if it is applied to it, the fourth dimension of time, if we want to change movement of something three-dimensionally in our life, what is the mechanism we want to mess with? It's time. We want to mess with the time mechanism to change the three-dimensional object. Now, fourth dimension, we went into this, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now, this is called a mystery. It's been said... Well, it's been said of you, I'm sure. Is anybody ever, prophetic people, have they ever called you and say, well, you're too mystical, you're a mystic? You ever been labeled a mystic or you're too mystical? Or do we tend to, okay, do you tend to back up or back away from the term mystic? Well, the term mystic means a person who understands mysteries. That's what a mystic is. The word mystic comes from the word mystery. So a mystic is a person who understands mysteries, and if you understand one mystery, you have the desire to understand more mysteries. That's what a mystic is. It's a driver. It moves you to want to pursue mysteries. Well, it just so happens, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. So we see here, this mystery of the Gentiles, when you understand it, you have become a mystic because you are understanding a mystery. The glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christ in us, the hope of glory, is a mystery. Now you can know Christ in you, but not see the mystery. Many people hear the words, but they don't get the understanding. You remember last week I showed you how you need to get understanding, Matthew 13, first parable, the sower, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. The reason it had an exponential increase was because of understanding. So a mystic, a prophetic mystic, is one who runs into and wants to understand mysteries. So there's a mystery of the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. So you can have the head knowledge of Christ in you, or you can have the mystical understanding of Christ in you. There's a difference. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is three-dimensional. The mystical understanding of Christ in you is four-dimensional. Now, could you feel it right when I said that? Could anybody feel it? You should have felt it move. You should have felt it kind of, something should have kind of jumped right there. And it's the spirit of that fourth dimension saying yes and amen to truth. So let's watch it. So it's a hope. So The glory of God has a hope. Can something three-dimensional have hope? No. Something four-dimensional, it's spirit. So therefore, we know that glory is fourth-dimensional. I also have taught you in the weeks gone by how that the fourth dimension is where life is. It's life. So in this fourth dimension of glory, glory is in the fourth dimension and it has hope. Now, watch this. Hope is like a vacuum in the spirit in the fourth dimension. It'll pull you. Hope, fourth dimension, will pull you. That's the reason the powers of darkness is trying to destroy all hope in you. How does it destroy hope in you? Through the accumulation of evidence. The accumulation of evidence does not equal a spiritual truth. Accumulation of evidence does not equal a spiritual truth. The accumulation of evidence is trying to discover the answer of the mystery. But it's not discovered through the accumulation of evidence. As a prophetic people, we have to fight the accumulation of evidence because do you believe there's people in prison today that are innocent? But yet the evidence proved them guilty? So is evidence foolproof? No. Well, since evidence is not foolproof, why do you want to use it as scripture? Evidence is not scripture. Evidence is evidence is a tool of the soul to create false hope and a truth. What did I say? In a truth, yes. In truth. Evidence gives you hope. Oh, I'm getting a little closer. Right? Getting a little closer. Now, am I saying evidence can't get you to a truth? No, I'm not saying it can't do that. I'm just saying you don't give evidence the same value as God's Word. You don't give evidence. I don't care how many reports we got of the doctor. That evidence does not trump God's Word. It just doesn't. So as a prophetic people, when judgment occurs, you're trying to accumulate evidence. There's a difference in accumulating evidence for a spiritual truth and that there is operating from a point of authority with a truth. Authority with the truth already knows an answer that evidence doesn't. You get it? So what happens? It causes us to want to press in. We just realize we have to now be very careful with trying to use evidence as a reason that God's moving. The reason God moves is because He says it. God doesn't have to have a reason. Even though He probably does, but we'll never understand it. But God doesn't have to have a reason to move. God's used to making things out of nothing. Did you know that nothing does not contain any evidence? I think you got it that time. Nothing doesn't contain any evidence. God's into creating things out of nothing. And you've got to see this. Evidence moves a thought pattern into a negative direction instead of into a positive one. Very seldom do people gather evidence to show how smart someone is. Usually, trying to accumulate evidence to prove the guilt of something. Right? Let's accumulate this evidence and I can prove to you how smart they are. People don't go around doing that. Why? Because it's usually in a negative arena. Now, let's move forward. Christ in you, the hope of glory, understand that's a mystical movement. The greater the relationship, the stronger the duplication of the same truth in time. So the greater our relationship is with Christ, with this glory that's in us. Did you know there's glory in you? This glory, this fourth dimensional glory that's in you, that's the reason every now and again I can say something, you'll feel it jump. You're feeling it jump. It's real. It's a fourth dimension. See, truth, I've told you, when you feel it jump, truth in fourth dimension equals movement. And you'll feel it. You'll feel it jump. Now, there are periods of times and seasons, and there are specific times. Ecclesiastes, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So we see here that there is seasons, which is, and I'm going to get into this hopefully today, a season is a time. Season is a measurement of a long period of time, but it's still time just the same. To every time, a purpose. So when we engage with time and cause three-dimensional things to move, it's always with a purpose. It can be a selfish purpose or it can be a purpose of the kingdom. It just so happens that our words is what can help set things into the fourth-dimensional motion. Here's why. How do you know words are spiritual? Watch it. Your mouth has to move before they come out. Got it? Without movement, I don't care if you can say you're a ventriloquist, your vocal cords still, there has to be movement. Fourth dimension. Something's got to make it move. So therefore, what comes out of the words in this move, it has to be time. It takes time to say a word. It takes time. When I say the word time, it had a beginning and an end. But it took time before the word or the movement could come out. What's happening? Fourth dimensional is driving it. So therefore, your words, the reason the scripture goes over all of this stuff about what you say, you've got to understand your word sets time in motion. Now, let's move on. Faith is the relationship between third and fourth dimensions. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Therefore, we know that faith is, it's going after things that you can't see. It's fourth dimensional. So faith is what ties the third dimension with the fourth. Causes then the movement. I've shown you our example here of three dimension is the big box. Fourth dimension is the little box inside the big box, which is Christ in you. Dimensions are in relationship to each other through faith. The greater the relationship, the stronger the duplication of the same truth moving in time. Excuse me. The purpose of what I'm trying to pull off here is to expand your definition of the spiritual truth about time. That's what I'm trying to do. We say, what time is it? Everybody looks at their watch. When I say, what time is it? You don't all of a sudden say, end times. No, you say, oh, it's 5 to 10. I want you to understand there's a spiritual set of time that moves and changes things. Now, we went over here, my little bar is here, how that was faith, and I'm going to move through this real quickly, how that faith is what ties the Christ in you, the hope of glory, with your three-dimensional figure here. The stronger the relationship, the stronger where you're tied together. We cannot see the fourth, but we make it real by giving it what? See, what makes my words real? I give it time. Can you have a relationship with somebody and not give it time? It can't happen because it's not moving. You say, well, I'm going to give it time. You can say, well, I love you, honey, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. Guess what? Nothing's moving. Right? It has to move before life is given to it. Your faith makes fourth dimensions real by giving it time. And actually, I'm not going to do the movement one this time, but most of you are here. How that inside moves in to out, and then it just starts revolving like Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why does it revolve? Because it's fourth dimension. It's real. It's moving. It's alive. What is the enemy trying to get? He's trying to stop that revolution of Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's trying to stop the movement. You let something bad happen to you, or you can get a bad diagnosis, or somebody says something. What happened? It stops you in time. Your spiritual time marker stops. You're not moving anywhere. Anybody ever said, I'm just stuck? Stuck in what? Time. I'm stuck in time. And we have to get it moving again. It takes time to create movement. To agree with time sets things in motion. If somebody says over you, you'll never amount to anything. If you set time to that motion, if you put it in motion or that statement, it'll come true. I'm going to show you something else about judgment. I'm going to go there yet. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. To everything there's a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born. I just did a few of these. And a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, when we see that, what's the writer? The wisest man in the world has ever been was Solomon. He wrote that. And he's trying to tell us there's time markers. To every time, there's a purpose. So we're constantly trying to walk with Christ. How can you know what spiritual time it is without Christ in you, the hope of glory, working? It's impossible to know what spiritual time there is. Now, there's two sets of time, which I'm going to get into, hopefully. There's this time, then there's spirit time. This time and spirit time. Now let's watch it. Now, here I'm going to give you something that shows us. There's what the Bible calls just the right time. The greater the relationship, the more you know the right time. Have you ever done something knowing you're out of time? Or am I the only one? You did say, boy, I messed that up. You know that it was right, but usually the Lord will give us a revelation right when we need to use it. Why? Because if we don't, we're going to spout it out. We can't keep a secret to save our neck. They need to hear it, and I'm going to say it. Not understanding, the greater the revelation, the more you have to hold. The greater the revelation, the greater the ability you have to be able to hold that revelation and give it in its due time. God will test you and try you, help you to develop that. Now look at this one right here. It says it like this. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you on the day of salvation. I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of what? So he says, that's the right time. And we've all asked ourselves, well, why did God wait till I was 35 to get saved? For some reason, that was the right time, and everything that happened up until that time, God was going to use for good in you somehow. It's God's time. Now, time and eternity are in a relationship. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God does what? Does what? Lives forever. Why do you live forever? It's because you are in relationship with eternity. If your relation, if your life is in a greater relationship with this world, you're going to hit hard when you die. You got a lot to leave. I was with a guy one day, and we passed this multi-millionaire's house, and he looked over at me and said, boy, he's going to have a hard time leaving. I understood what he meant. Eternity was placed in us before the foundations of the world. We hit this a little bit last week. How eternity is set in us. Anybody remember that last week? Eternity is set in us. He said he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning unto the end. So in all of us, eternity has been placed. It's already there. And I gave you this story last week. Y'all remember that of the demon-possessed man with 3,000 to 6,000 demons? It was his time, and always night and day he was in the mountains and the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus far off, he ran and did what? And I showed you last week how he worshiped Jesus before he got set free of demons. To me, that's a revelation. Why did he do that? Because God had already, he's placed in all of humanity. Eternity's in mind here. It's already there. It's in all human. So when he saw Jesus, he worshiped him. Somebody come in here, we can be worshiping God. Somebody lost, full of demons. Do you know they can start worshiping God and then get set free of demons? You know why I like that? It kind of gives us all hope, doesn't it? We'll not go into that. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So worship is a time marker. Here's my point. When we worship God, it marks time. Every time you worship God, it marks time. Everything in your life, now remember this, humans are people of extremes, to the right and the left. Worship is an extreme behavior, true worship. The goal is we're living life between worship and worship. You want to live life between worship and worship. You don't want to just live life. You're going to worship God. Maybe in the morning, or when you're quiet, whatever. Then you're going to go through and live your day. Maybe before you go to bed, well, I got to worship God again, because I've lived life, but I want to live life between worship and worship. That's another thing hopefully we can get into. I'm going to show you how that works in time. Is anybody interested? That's very, 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 very important, to live life between worship times. Now, because worship is a time marker. I don't want somebody to curse me. If they're going to curse me between two of my worship times, I want that worship time to be short. Because every time you worship God, you're going to be set free of all demons. Now, come on, somebody. Yes. All curses, everything, you're going to be set free.
Yes!
It's just the way it is. So does that time of worship, are we bringing greater value? Could you feel it? Anybody feel it? Okay. It's worship to worship. Now, let's move. I'm getting hot again. We are not to call forth something out of its time. Now, what is going on there? But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Now, that's talking about the second coming of Christ. Now, why? We had the first coming and we got a second coming. Those are two times. Right? Two distinct times. Why does God not let anybody know the day or the hour? Because we'd call it forth. That's why. God says it ain't time. You know when it's going to be time? He'll tell us when it's time. You got to understand something here. I can't show it to you right now. The church is the one that calls Christ in the second coming. When our time's full, we'll call him in. But we won't until it's time. Or we'd do it now. I'd do it this morning, and you would too. But God, he won't let us know the time unless we call him. Now, we can give over to the Lord our time. What's this one? Here's another one. My times are in your hands, says David. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. So we can see between time of worship and time of worship, those markers, we want to give him over our time in between the worship times. I'm going to get into that more to give you understanding. Now, we are to be aware of our time on earth. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of what? Teach us to number our days that we might gain the heart of wisdom. So for us to gain wisdom has a propellant, a pushing, something pushes us into wisdom. Is to know the number of our days. To be real with you, have a beginning and an end on this earth. To be real with that. That those are two set times. Time you'll come, time you'll... To be in touch with that. To be in relationship with that. Will push you into wisdom. A lot of the people don't even think about it. I don't think about that when I leave here. No, just depress me. You got to think about it. You came here to leave, not to stay. You got to deal with it. When we deal with it, we gain wisdom. There's a reward. Now watch this one. Romans 13:11. And do this understanding. Now, the one that we're doing here is we could, even though we're in this time, the scripture says we can be asleep in time. We don't want to be asleep in time. Romans 13:11. And do this, understand the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Is it possible that we can go to spiritually asleep in the time that we've been created to live? Yes. There's different types of sleep. One is through laziness and you just go to sleep. And another one is when the enemy knocks you out, you're asleep. Either way, you're not conscious. We're going to do a little more with that one too. Now, we are not to be silent in our time, Ecclesiastes. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. It's in Esther. You remember the scripture? You have come to your what? Royal position. Place of authority. Royal position. For such a time as this. You say, well, Alan, that's Esther. Yeah, but do you remember this scripture? It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You got to see it prophetic. You got to understand. You are in this royal position for such a time as this. You got to know what time it is. It's time for these people that are in this royal position to wake up. To speak, not be silent. Just move on. Faith is what I call the quantum pathway of time. Here we go. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Eternal life is the pathway of faith. It's quantum. Quantum meaning it gets so, basically it gets so small you can't see it, but it's still there. That's quantum. The fourth dimension is so small you can't see it as far as comparison to 3D. But it's big in four dimension. I'll try to show you that one. For God so loved the world. And we start seeing that each are these points of faith, or you call it an axis in geometry. Each one of these axes that the internal fourth dimension is tied to the third dimension moves to that one verse. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You say, well, Alan, why is that important? Here's where eternal life works. I think it was over in London or one of those places, they had this at a pub or something, they had this mass shooting. You remember they went in, it was England, and I only killed 20, 25 people. Went in with these guns and just shot it was just horrific. And anyway, they were, the next day or so, they were interviewing this one person who lived through it, was not shot. And he was given the description of what happened. He said, he shot everybody and his friends. He said, their blood was just all over me. He said, I just laid still. And he said, I guess they passed over me because they thought I was dead. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The reason he survived is because their blood was covering him. What was his secret? He didn't move. Why do we have eternity? Because his blood covers us. When the enemy's coming around to get us, we don't move. He thinks we're already dead. But yet we live.
Yes!
Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's what ties the third and fourth dimensions together. Now let's move on. So we ask ourselves, what time is it? I go to Romans 5:6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died. For when we were still weak, even though we're laying there, the enemy's trying to kill us, just don't move. The blood of Christ. When you're weak, he'll die for you. It says in Galatians 4:4. But when the, say fullness of times, fullness of times was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law. So here we see that in this fourth dimension of time, God says that there's going to be a fullness of this dimension of time. Remember, time can be 1 second or it can be a period of time. So God said, when the fullness of times was come. So how do I know what time it is? The time it is now is the fullness of times. The fullness of times started when God sent his son. I know what spiritual time it is. We are living in a time that God's wanting to fill up. All right, let's watch it. There is a time that time is being made full. Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation, now the word dispensation here means pouring out. Now you probably heard a lot of teachings in the last 20 years on how bad dispensational teaching is. Usually that's done from people that don't understand it. Now, do people take dispensational teaching too far? Yes, they do. Do they take other teachings too far? Yes, they do. But is dispensational teaching true? It's in the Bible. You got to do something with it. That in the dispensation, a dispensation means pouring out. It means, that's where you get the word dispensary. You dispense something. So there, in the fullness of time, God starts dispensing something that before wasn't dispensed. If it had been dispensed before, you don't need to dispense it. So God, starting 2,000 years ago, started pouring out something in a device in which the time could become full. He sent His Son Jesus. The birth of Jesus is a time marker. And I've told you this before. What year is it? 2019. 2019 from what? Muhammad? A pink elephant? From what? The birth of Jesus Christ is the biggest marker of time in the universe. It is so big that God starts dispensing something else into the earth so that it can, that time can become full. Why does it need to become full? Because there's something in that time that's empty. So God has something in time that's empty that He wants to become full. So He sends His Son, the biggest trump card in the universe. He plays that card so that this fullness of time might take place. This fullness of time is the greatest time that has ever been and that will ever be. Amen. Because it's going to be made full. Well, it just so happens part of this time still empty. Right. But God wants it to be filled up and be made full. Keep that in mind. In the next verse, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him. Who is predestined? Those that have been poured out upon to help this time become full. The fullness of time is what's been predestined. And if you walk into that fullness of time, you will be predestined also to fill up the fullness. Wow, I'm getting hot. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. God's initiating this. That we should be what? To the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, here's what the scriptures say. If you are being dispensed upon by what God's pouring out in this time, God's wanting to pour His Spirit. We know that it happened in the day of Pentecost. He's pouring out His Spirit. And as He pours His Spirit, time becomes, starts becoming fuller and fuller and fuller. How can you be poured upon by the Spirit and not praise Him? How do you know if you're not under the spout where the glory comes out? The way you know is if you're complaining all the time. The way you know is everybody's treating me wrong. This has treated me wrong, that's treated me wrong. In other words, if your life is, if everybody else would act better, you'd be happy. You fell in the hog pen, not under the spout. How do I know this is true? Because I've been there. I fight it daily. What I'm telling you is the truth. So one way that we know that we're operating in this pouring out is because we will worship God. God's time is always redeeming time to fill up eternity. This fullness of time, God's got a season here that He's going to fill up and make full for eternity's sake. I've mentioned to y'all before, how do you know if what you're doing is prophetic or not? It's because it always has redemption in mind. I'm fixing to show you how this works and the power of it. Ephesians, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? And as wise. Doing what? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So not only is there a dispensing and a pouring out in this time that God's wanting to make full, we now find ourselves that we are the agent in which God wants us to go out here and grab us some of this time and redeem it. So what time is it? It's time for you to join God in redeeming time. Why do we believe in forgiveness? So nobody has to get their time. If you go into the prisons and you grab everybody and you take them out of prison, what did you do to their sentence of time? You redeemed it. Is anybody excited about that?
Yes.
The church, we are in the process of redeeming time. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not what? Unwise. Now, I showed you how you got wisdom. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, the will of the Lord is tied up with us redeeming time. Why? Because the days are evil. So what time is it? The time that it is for us when we're redeeming the time, when we have that in our mindset, God's going to give us wisdom to understand what His will is. But if you don't have that on your mind, you're not going to get it. We are living in the time of filling up fullness. Messed around sounded like Ray, didn't it? We are living in the time of filling up fullness. We are in the time of filling up fullness. It's in Galatians 4:4-7. Now watch this, please. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You see that? We're in the fullness of time. God sent His Son, who was made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Are you under the law or are you redeemed from the law? You are redeemed from the law. Any part of your Christian life that you walk in legalism is a part of you that's not been redeemed yet. You're redeemed from it. To redeem that, how can you redeem somebody if you hadn't been redeemed? How can you give away redemption that you don't carry? Walk in wisdom, what? Away from them? Toward them. Here's a directional. You say, well, Alan, I just can't seem to get any wisdom about what to say to them. Well, you got to walk towards them first. Say, I don't know what to say. Take off towards them. If you'll walk toward, the first thing that comes is, boy, I sure would like to give them the Lord. That's the first thing that comes. Walk towards them. It's in the walking toward that you get the wisdom. Why would God give you the wisdom if you're not going to walk toward? It'd be wasted wisdom. Right? You have to move before you see. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So when you're working with God, just remember, God's purpose is always with redemption in mind. Do not carry on a conversation unless you have redemption in mind. Don't leave somebody hanging under condemnation that you might give them without redemption in mind. It's always redemption. Boy, I got somewhere I was wanting to take you this morning, but we're going to have to wait. So I'm going to stop you in redeeming right there. I want us to go into worship. Understand, part of our what's going here, part of the fourth dimensional revelation comes if you during worship. We worship God. And we live time between worship. Now here's why. When we worship God, time stands still. Does anybody want to learn about that one? Worship to worship. We live time in the middle. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this day. And Lord, you know what I've asked always of you. If there's anything that I've said that's not of you, I pray that it'll fall to the ground, not harm anyone. Hallelujah. Lord, if there's anything that I've said that's of you, I pray that your Spirit would quicken it to our hearts. Lord, I pray that these people would test everything that I say with your word and your Spirit. And I pray, oh God, that's true, that those seed would grow and bring forth a huge harvest, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Be with us, oh God, in our worship. Be with us in our worship, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.